Welcome, everyone. This is Russ Gazel, Chronicles of the End Times. Thank you for joining me today. Today, we have a subject that is key to understanding what's going on in the world. Today's subject is standing on the border between two worlds. And what do we mean by that? The spiritual world and the natural world. And as Christians, we should be living in both worlds. And if we want to truly understand what's going on today, what's going on in the Middle East, what's going on here in the United States and around the world, we need to understand the spiritual aspects. And in today's news broadcasts, we don't get that. Unless you go on YouTube and you search out some good media to listen to, some real facts, some eyewitness testimony of what's going on, you won't get that. You'll just get the soap opera of what's going on here in this country right now. You won't get the news that we need to hear. Why is hate growing? Why are we in such disarray? Why is anti-Semitism going through the roof, growing exponentially every week? Having spiritual eyes and ears is critical to understanding what's going on and what the future holds. As children of God, we should be walking in the light. That means we should have access and understanding to the things of God. This world has gone its way. We know that. Sexual immorality and lies and cheating are really just part of everyday life for many. But Paul warns us in Ephesians chapter 5, "Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine upon you. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise but wise, making the best use of your time, because the days are evil." That kind of describes where we are. As Christians trying to live in this life, in this world of confusion, we need to be that light. And as the Lord said to the churches in Revelation, those who have ears to hear, let them hear. The spiritual world is real, and many of us know that, but most don't. The scripture is clear that there's other gods, and they're not real gods. They're not the God, the Almighty God, but there's gods of this earth. We even see it in the Ten Commandments, where the Lord said, "Have no other gods before you." And in Psalm 82, it reads, "God presides in the great assembly. He gives judgment among the gods." Goes on to describe in verse 5 of that same psalm, "They know nothing, they understand nothing. They walk in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken." There are other principalities and powers. We talk about that a lot. We point to Ephesians, and we read that scripture many times, where it talks about the spiritual warfare. But many people don't believe in that. Well, they don't believe in the only true God, and they certainly don't believe in powers and principalities that control the world. Principalities means government. There is a dark government run by the prince and the power of the air, and they are constantly moving. They don't sleep. They don't get hungry. They just keep pushing and pushing to rid the earth of any presence of God. They want to destroy the inhabitants of the earth. And unfortunately, there are many, and we are all prone. Bob Dylan wrote a song, "You Gotta Serve Somebody." And that's true. It might be the devil and it might be the Lord, but you gotta serve somebody. And even though people of the world don't understand that, they don't know that, but they are still serving other gods. Despite all the Jews have been through, all that Israel has been through since the beginning of time, God still has his promises for them. God does not break his promises. Aren't you glad about that? I am. No matter how we are or how we live our lives, God is still righteous. and he will still have his way. He will still honor all his promises and have them fulfilled. And that's what's happening with Israel. People that don't delve into the spiritual world can't understand that. They see it only in a secular sense. But Israel has been placed right back home for a reason. The UN, the United States, and other nations, they were just doing the will of God. They didn't even know it. God has plans for Israel, as we read in the Old Testament and through the New Testament. He's made promises to you and me in the Word. And if we abide in Him, He will keep those promises. For God is pure integrity. These powers and principalities, these so-called gods, were created by the Lord God Almighty to help run the earth, because that was God's design. And that's why the scripture says that we're going to rule and reign with Christ, because he wants to share his kingdom. He wants to share it with his children, those who love him. Because of their failure and their walking away from God, their rebellion, he's going to share his kingdom with his children, with those washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. It's really a shame today that there's such division, even in the news reporting, right? You have cheerleaders for every side, and it's hard to get a handle on what is really going on. I was watching a documentary. I'm kind of a history freak. So I was watching this new documentary, I believe it was on Prime, about World War II. It was the most detailed documentary I've ever seen in my life. Of course, it was like 20-some episodes, so only a history freak like me would probably be watching them all. It reminded me of what the Jews went through in World War II at the hands of Hitler. And we know, we look at it and say, well, it was really awful, it was terrible what happened, and, you know, it's part of history, part of World War II. And to those of us, we may look at it that way, but to Jewish people with links, to with relatives who died or survived that horrific event, it's different. That was their family, their grandparents or their parents, seeing the mothers holding their little tiny children and being led off to the gas chambers or to a giant cavern that they made with a bulldozer, threw them in there alive and buried them alive. These things are etched in their brain. And so when we look at what's going on now, we see what happened on October 7th and how awful that was and horrific that was, just terrible. And what made it so much worse, if that's even possible, was that the people that were killed, they were peaceniks. They were people living at these kibbutzes. They were all about living all together with everybody. They were living off the land. They just enjoyed being where they were, families, children. We're not going to get into everything that happened. If you don't know all the details, I suggest you find out, because although they are horrific, we need to understand the truth cannot be hid. Light needs to shine in the darkness, as the scripture says. So why do I bring this up? Because anti-Semitism is raging on the campuses of this country and around the world. South Africa is claiming Israel's committing genocide in Gaza. And I think we need to think about what we do in those situations. And we need to understand the evil that's rising up. These are things critical to the last days. When I say the last days, I don't mean the last couple of months or the last 5 years. I'm talking about the last 100 years. As Peter declared in Jerusalem nearly 2,000 years ago, he said, these are the last days that the prophet Joel talked about. And I've said this before, if Peter could claim that scripture and say this is the last days under the power of the Holy Spirit, then how much more shall we believe that we are in the latter days of those last days? Why is it important for you and I to understand where we are in history? It's because there's people that need to know Jesus, and there's people that are really afraid. They're scared. They've seen the very basics of life being turned upside down. There's two different things that are going on in people's lives today. They're either sticking their head in the sand because it's too awful to think about, and they don't want to think about it. They just want to try to live their lives the best they can. And I can certainly understand that. But it's important for us to be children of light. And in order to be children of light, we need to know what's going on so we can explain it to other people. Because people want to hear the truth. They're very confused, and they're scared, and for good reason. Korea lined up a huge army and carried out some exercises right on the border of North and South Korea. North Korea sent missiles to Russia to be used in the Ukraine. Iran has just sent their high-tech drones to Putin so he could use them against the Ukrainians. Iran is threatening war. They're using the Houthis and Hamas and Hezbollah and all the others as instruments of terror through the Middle East and the world, threatening to block off the canal. It's already affected our prices here in the United States and around the world because major freight liners have decided to divert their fleets from the Red Sea Canal and Egypt's Suez Canal toward the Cape of Good Hope, driving their costs up and in turn driving all our costs up. All this affects us. Then, of course, we have China, the slow-moving monster that wants to take over the world. Our borders are wide open because we have lost our equilibrium. We have lost the light. The scripture clearly tells us in Ephesians, those who don't know Christ and those who even go as far as denying Christ, the scripture tells us that they are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of their heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learn Christ. And he goes on to tell us to be renewed in the spirit of our minds. The two things are connected. The rebellion against the Lord, the rebellion against good, rebellion against God and his word leads to its lack of wisdom and lack of understanding, unable to make a correct decision. Everybody wants to live in America, and I don't blame them. My forefathers came here. They went through the procedure of coming to America, and I'm so glad that they did. And so many people need the freedom that we have here. We are truly a blessed country, but we need to be wise. We lock our cars. We lock our doors when we go to bed. Why? Why don't we just leave them open? Because this world is not safe. This is not a safe place. We need to not walk in fear, but we need to be cautious. Lots of times you look into the Word of God and we say, oh, you know, that's really powerful stuff. But, you know, it was for that time they were going through this persecution, you know, the Roman persecution and the religious people of the day fighting against the gospel of Jesus Christ. But most of these words are prophetic, not just for that time, but for all times and for the time in which we live right now. As we look at 2 Peter chapter 3, Peter writes, this is now the second letter that I'm writing to you, beloved. In both of them, I am stirring up your sincere mind by the way of reminder that you should remember the predictions of the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord Savior Jesus Christ and through your apostles. Knowing this first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days, following their own sinful desires. They will say, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since our fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3, it says this, while people are saying there is peace and security, then suddenly destruction will come upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. In our time, we are witnessing things we've never seen before. We've always had wars and earthquakes and some of the other signs that Jesus said would happen, but there was never a state of Israel. Let's make a quick list of all the things that have already been fulfilled. Well, obviously, we just mentioned the birth of Israel in 1948, and that leads us to where we are today, of course, and how Israel took the land from the Palestinians and drove them out, and how awful that was. If you want to know the truth about all that, there's a great book. It's called The Palestinian Delusion, and you can get it on Amazon. It's by Robert Spencer. It's amazing. Very, very factual. He doesn't go on and on in his own opinion. He has done great research into history and how many people were actually living in that area when it was given to Israel by the United Nations. History is an amazing thing. In this day and age, we change history. We change it to fit our lifestyle and what we want to believe. But if you really look into it, you will find the truth. In the year 134, the Romans expelled the Jews from the area in retaliation for a revolt against their rule, led by a self-appointed Messiah. As an insult to the Jews and to efface any traces of their connection to the land, they renamed Jerusalem Alia Capitolina, and the region of Palestine they named from the Bible. They pulled out the name from the Philistines and changed it to Palestine. But actually looking into things takes time. In our generation, if they can't find the answer on TikTok, they're not interested. Spencer quotes a number of writers and historians and travelers through the area through the years. One, Dio Cassius, he quotes him, writing some 70 years after the Romans expelled the Jews from their land in the year 134. The Roman historian writes, "The whole of Judea became desert, as indeed had been foretold in their sacred rites, fell of its own accord into fragments, and wolves and hyenas, many a number, roamed howling through the cities." Gives you an idea of what it looked like through history. He also quotes Mark Twain. Let's listen to his quote. "Bethlehem and Bethany, in their poverty and in their humiliation, have nothing about them now to remind one that they once knew the high honor of the Savior's presence. The hallowed spot where the shepherds watched their flocks by night and where the angels sang peace on earth, goodwill to men, is untenanted by any living creature and unblessed by any feature that is pleasant to the eye. Renowned Jerusalem itself, the stateliest name in history, has lost its ancient grandeur and has become a pauper village. The riches of Solomon are no longer there to compel the admiration of visiting Oriental queens. The wonderful temple, which was the pride and glory of Israel, is gone, and the Ottoman crescent is lifted above the spot where, on that most memorable day in the annals of the world, they reared the Holy Cross." It's a couple podcasts all on its own, but check it out. The Palestinian delusion really opened your eyes to a lot of things. In the natural, you would think, well, these things are just, they just happen. You know, it's the way the world goes, the way history goes. You look back in time, and there's always been wars and disputes over territories, and this is just going to go on, and that's just life. But those of us who live in both worlds understand that, yes, there is truth to that. But also there is a truth, an ultimate truth, that Jesus Christ is coming back. And there's things that he told us would happen before he does. There are two returns predicted by the prophets about the return of Israel. Isaiah 11:11 indicates that there would be a day when God would raise his hand a second time to gather the children of Israel to the homeland. The first return was predicted by the prophet Jeremiah to take place after Israel had been in captivity for 70 years. That was the time of Babylon during the days of Nebuchadnezzar. After 500 years of intermittent partial sovereignty in the land, the Jewish people were once again dispersed under the Roman Empire in 70 AD. This is the interesting part. After 2,000 years, they've now returned and reestablished sovereignty. You know, no other people group has managed to survive two exiles, much less the space of 2,000 years. The second return is to be from every nation where they have been dispersed. You can see that in Jeremiah 16, 23, and 29. The first was from Babylon, and this now, for the last 120 years or so, more than 3.5 million Jews have immigrated to the land of Israel from all over the world, north and south, east and west. It's a literal fulfillment of God's promises in Isaiah chapter 43. So who gave the nation of Israel back their land? Not the United States, not the UN, not any person in this entire planet. It was a supernatural event that God ordained. God has brought them back for a reason. This is part of the phenomenal prophecies of the last days. When we look in Isaiah chapter 66, it's amazing prophecy. In verse 7 and 8, it says, "Before she goes into labor, she gives birth. Before the pains come upon her, she delivers a son. Who has ever heard of such a thing? Who has ever seen such things? Can a country be born in a day, or a nation brought forth in a moment? Yet no sooner is Zion in labor, and she gives birth to her children." Amazing, amazing stuff. Only God can do these things. And we see the other things that Jesus predicted would happen during the last days. And we're seeing the great falling away. We're seeing the rebellion where people don't want to be shackled with any rules or regulations. They don't want to suppress their passions or their feelings. They want to be totally free. That's just another word for rebellion. We know that the cashless society is just around the corner. With all the rockets flying around over Jerusalem, who's to say one or two of those rockets won't accidentally hit the mosque, the Dome of the Rock? And that could set off a whole nother chain of events. We are just a breath away from financial collapse, a breath away from the next great war, a breath away from the rise of the Antichrist, the AI coming onto the scene. We don't know how it's going to shape the future, but we know it's going to. And it's going to be able to create images of people, videos of people, voices of people that sound just like them, look just like them. Fake news is going to be taken to a whole nother level. So how are we going to know what's true? That's why we need to read the Word of God. It never changes. It is truth. Jesus said, I am the truth. Therefore, we don't have to walk in darkness because Jesus said, I am the light and I will light the way because I am the way and I am the truth and I will keep you in my power. We know that the Word of God is a light unto our feet. As it gets darker and darker, it's not an option. We need that light so we don't fall into the traps that the enemy has set for us. We are standing on the border between two worlds, and those worlds are colliding. Stay faithful. Stay looking up. Don't give up. Romans 8:18 tells us, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. The next podcast, we're going to be talking about our future. Not only the salvation of our souls, but the redemption of our bodies. God has glorious plans for those who love Him. This is Russ Galzo for Chronicles of the End Times. Keep looking up. The King is coming.